Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Security Now is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is Security Now with Steve Gibson. Our Christmas Day special, episode 436 for December 25th, 2013. Time Traveling with Steve. It's time for Security Now. Wait a minute. Let me change the colors, ladies and gentlemen, because it's our special Christmas episode. Steve Gibson is here. Ho, 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 Steve.
Yo, Leo. Last one of the year. We made it through 2013. I can't believe it's going to be 2014 already.
I've changed the lights, normally blue behind us, to red and green to signify.
Very nice.
Now, Steve did something very interesting. You know, most of our other shows on the this whole week, we're on hiatus. We're letting our staff go home. And so most of the other shows are best ofs. But Steve doesn't like to rehash old security news. And frankly, what use would it be anyway?
Yeah.
So you've got something even older.
We have, yes. So everyone remembers last year I had that fun blast from the past where I did I showed the presentation I had made to SoftCell, a software distributor. Ever since I have been working with you, Leo, and appearing on screensavers and call for help and so forth, I've been collecting VHS tapes of those appearances. And I dug into my archive and I found the first three things, essentially, that you and I did together. 15 years ago was the first time you and I met, June 17th, 1998, on the set of the Screensavers in South San Francisco, when SpinRite 5 had come out, and people were reporting that their Zip and Jazz iOmega drives were being cured by SpinRite. There was something called Click of Death. Anyway, so what I have is my appearance on with you 15 years ago. My hair was dark. And there was like a sort of an obvious bald spot back there. It's a little less obvious now. But the other thing is that the commercials from then were just, they were funny. They were like really great. And so this is a time capsule special. I've got that one. Then, and then in December of 1999, Kate Patello, who was your co-host on the Screensavers, discovered Shields Up. I had just put it up. I'd created it, but it wasn't well known at the time, and it was news to you. She was over getting a copy of SpinRite, and she says, "What's Shields Up?" And so she clicks the button, and it says, "Hello, Kate." And it's like, wait a minute. How does he know my name?
No.
So the second one here of the three is the first appearance of Shields Up and you and Kate looking at it. And then the fourth one was March 3rd of 2000, is where I came on to your Call for Help show. And together we introduced the concept of port probing and a firewall. I made the prediction that someday all personal computers were going to have firewalls built in. And that was like, wow, you think so? Well, I think that's probably likely because they really should. And at that time, of course, Zone Alarm was our favorite. So anyway, I think we've got a really fun, it's about an hour long blast from the past time capsule. And since I've got so many more of these, I think we'll probably be doing this, make this an annual tradition.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I hope you're having a happy holiday, everybody. And I thank Steve Gibson for many years now. We're in our, seventh or eighth year doing this show.
We are. And you and I have been together for 15.
15. I owe you a case of Burgundy. So now with that, or is it Cabernet? It's Cabernet, isn't it?
I'm a cab person.
Cab guy. I bought some cabs just for you. So when you come up next week, we're going to do special New Year's Eve show. And next Tuesday, New Year's Eve day, Steve will be in studio. We'll do Security Now then instead of our normal Wednesday on New Year's Day. And we'll have a little Cabernet then.
Sounds great.
Meanwhile, we go back in time 15 years. This is the very earliest days of Tech TV and the Screensavers watch.
two, The Screensavers. I'm Leo Laporte.
And I'm Kate Vitello. Thank you for joining us. It's a hip check.
Coming up on today's show, there's been a lot of controversy surrounding problems with the Zip and Jazz discs from iOmega. Today we're going to take a closer look. This is something you're really going to want to watch at the so-called click death. We're going to talk to a leading authority, one of the great disc gurus of all time, a man I've admired for many years, columnist Steve Gibson, will join us, talk about click death, let you know what you can do and what you shouldn't do about it.
This is going to be cool. Yeah. Plus, by popular demand, we're going to show you, finally, how to back up computer data on video cassettes using your VCR. We promise!
Sounds like a very bad idea.
That's coming up later today in Fresh Gear.
Oh, big news story. Hot news story, and I'm going to show you this here, folks. Ladies and gentlemen.
There's been a miracle.
A miracle happened. It happened in a local coffee bar in San Francisco's Multimedia Gulch. Take a look at this. This latte, unretouched photo of a cafe latte with Bill Gates' image on it, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Bill Gates
people
has appeared.
People are already
in a
worshiping.
Latte.
There's more. Don't go away. There's more because later in the day, this latte, of course, was sitting on the counter. Later in the day, it grew eyebrows and hair.
And he was happy, of course.
Unbelievable. They're worshiping at the shrine already. And then, shocking, belief beyond belief, a flower!
It started feeling decorative.
But later in the day,
due to a
tragic mishap, the latte was consumed.
That's right.
By somebody who looks surprisingly like our very own Allie.
Silicon Allie. That's right. Allie, you killed Bill Gates. You drank Bill Gates. All right.
We'll talk to Allie in a moment. Before we get to your call, some quick news from the world of computing. Actually, it's a story that's been going on for years, and it's an interesting story. Executive compensation. Is it too high? Are companies paying the CEOs too much? You know, I did a little search out here.
Okay.
Gil Amelio, of course, a good example. Here's a guy who in about 18 months with Apple Computer lost billions of dollars for Apple, took home an executive golden parachute worth millions and millions. Apple was leasing his plane from him so he could fly around in it.
Yeah, well, they pay people to go away.
There's an example of a bad thing. On the other hand, you look at a company like Microsoft, Bill Gates, chairman of the board of the number one computer company in the world. What is his salary? $349.
Dollars? $349.
Did I leave something out? $1,000 and a mere bonus of $241. You know, he's not $600,000 for a guy, you know, multi-billionaire. Of course, he doesn't get stock options, but of course he owns about 30% of the company.
And he does get miracle rights.
But I think there are a lot of guys, the chairman of NBC, actually General Electric, Jack Welch, $6 million a year with stock options, bonuses, and salary. Well, seems a little obscene, don't you?
Can we explain this a little bit?
All right.
I mean, these guys sit on each other's boards of directors and approve each other's raises.
That's a good point.
I mean, you have to understand.
That's how this gets so high.
I mean, it's kind of a funny yes and no question because everybody's going to say they're paid too much except for the CEOs, right?
CEOs say we're worth it.
Prove me wrong.
That's right.
But,
no, CEOs say, companies say we got to pay them this much because these guys are that good. They add that much value to the company. And if we don't pay them that much, somebody else is going to come along and steal them. What do you think? Here's your chance to let us know. Ours, corporate executives, particularly CEOs, particularly in the computer industry, paid too much. You give us a call, 888-989-7879.
Or send us an email to thescreensavers@zdtv.com.
And the chat room, of course, as you see at the bottom of the screen, is available by going to our website, zdtv.com/thescreensavers. Click on the chat link and get on in there. Let us know what you think. That's the fastest, easiest way to give us your opinion. Are corporate CEOs overpaid? I know if I were making that much money, I'd say, yeah!
No, you'd say no.
Yeah!
No, you wouldn't say you were
over... Yeah!
Oh, I see.
Give me the money! Show me the money!
Let's talk to Allie.
All right. Hi,
Allie. Let's talk to Miss Allie, she of the miraculous latte this morning.
Did you drink Bill Gates' face?
But you killed it!
He was cold.
I've heard that, actually. They say that about him.
Oh, you know, it's funny, though, because every day I religiously, you know, buy my latte.
We know this.
And we have a little discussion. You know, I have a discussion with Ted, who makes the latte, about what the foam means today, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then finally we had our miracle today.
Today we know
today what
the foam means.
The meaning of the foam.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
That's right.
Look at that. It's a Bill Gates in a cup. So do you have an E?
I just love that. Isn't that classic? And there was no design in that, honestly. That's exactly how it appeared. That's exactly. There was no stirring, nothing. That was it.
Yeah, where's his glasses? There you go.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah. So, Allie?
Yes?
Do we have questions and stuff?
Like, you know, an email?
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we actually have one from Jay in Baytown, Texas.
Baytown, Texas.
And he's actually, being very courageous and building his own multiprocessor. And he's been told by the locals that you can only use a genuine Intel in a multiprocessor system.
The locals
in Texas
are out there. You can't use anything but genuine Intel processor.
Now, I can do that because I was born a Texan and I can twang, but you can't.
Right, there you go.
So what's the question?
And you know, everyone's an expert when it comes to these things.
That's
so
right.
What does he want to know?
Well, he wants to know, he's going to be running NT on it, and possibly, NT5 when it comes out.
All right.
AMD K62 going to work? Can you use it in a multiprocessor?
Bring me the chalkboard! I'm sorry, did I shout that in your ear?
No!
Fetch me the chalkboard! Thank you, Allie.
Thank you
we'll answer this question.
This one is so all yours.
Bring me the chalkboard!
I know that processors excite you.
First of all.
So you just go to town.
Hey, what'd they paint our board? Is this a new color?
Yeah, it's... Oh.
What color is it? It's black.
It's black.
Now.
You know,
white chalk on a blackboard.
It's a blackboard. Go big.
Square chalk. I never saw such a thing. All right, first of all, let me talk about what multiprocessing is.
Sure.
The idea is you have a program running. Let's call this a program, all right? And you have your processor, your computer. It's chewing up the data. Multiprocessing can be two things. First of all, you could have a second program running and a second processor chewing up the data, and then they both spit out the output to your screen. So two processors working at once, or you could have one program that slices itself up into multiple processes or threads, and one processor takes one, the other processor takes the other, still has one output coming out to your screen. In theory, you'd speed up your computer by twice, right? Well, his friends are right. The K6 does not do what's called, this is called SMP, symmetric multiprocessing. K6 does not do it. Intel chips can do it, but there's a caveat here. First of all, you do have to be running a multiprocessor operating system, which is Windows NT, or Unix, or Linux, or OS 2. It has to be an operating system that knows about these slices, and it has to be a program that knows about the slices. In other words, you can't just be running Microsoft Word and Windows NT and expect to get any benefit at all from having two processors or more. You can go up to 8 processors on many systems, sometimes even more. You need an operating system and a program that knows. Now, Photoshop and some high-end CAD programs do understand multiprocessing.
Anything else?
Well, quite a few, but you've got to check with the vendor of your software, make sure that it will do multiprocessing.
Why would he want to do it on his home machine?
That's exactly right. I mean, Quake is not going to run any faster with a multiprocessor system.
Hmm.
In fact, most of the time, these are used on servers, which are the big computers that handle multiple transactions at once, and they're basically being used for things like your ATM machine, where you've got thousands of people all at once requesting cash. Then a multiprocessor makes sense, because there's a lot of stuff happening at once and needs to process in real time.
So unless you're trying to run an ATM machine
out
of your house.
I think most people are trying, what they think is, oh, two processors are better than one. I double my speed, ain't gonna happen.
He's trying to impress the locals.
He's trying to impress those local yokels.
You just can't do it without a genuine Intel processor. I get this vision
of them sitting around the Cracker Barrel there in the general store saying, no, Joe, you can't do it with a K6 on AMD.
No, K6 doesn't work that way.
Won't
you have to have the genuine Intel.
Thank you, Allie.
All right, thank you.
Be careful next time with that latte, all right?
Oh, sure,
all right,
yeah.
I can't wait to see who we get tomorrow.
I'll keep you posted.
All right, not, gal.
Let me know when you get Judy Garland into cappuccino.
It's gonna happen.
Still coming up, y'all. You haven't had troubles with your peripherals? Well, it could actually be a problem with your operating system. We're going to show you why when the Screensavers continues.
The Screensavers is sponsored by CDW, the number one direct seller of Compact, IBM, Toshiba, and Microsoft. Next time, give them a call. ZDTV presents Ask Tilda.
Mark from Denver writes, I was installing some new software and a screen came on that said, hit any key to continue. Where is the any key anyway, Mark? Observe our example. relax, close your eyes, and drop your head onto the keyboard. Ooh, are you okay?
Email Tilda at ZDTV.com.
Where is it?
Hmm?
I'm waiting.
Need it, okay?
I'm not mad.
Still waiting for that computer system you needed yesterday?
No.
Should have called CDW. Your personal account manager can even ship it the same day.
Sure, Dave. We'll configure today and you'll have it tomorrow.
I love you.
I love you too, Dave.
CDW, the number one direct seller of Compaq, IBM, Toshiba, and Microsoft. Next time, give us a call.
I got a lot to say about hacking. Hackers have a certain kind of drive. They want to know your code. They want to get up inside your brain. They want to get behind you. They're kind of like these creepy troglodytic creatures hanging on your shoulder trying to peer into your personal business. I won't do it anymore. I'm going to give up on hacking. It's all clean living for the surf guru. No more misbehavior online.
In our world, the speed and tempo of modern living are increasing at an ever-accelerating rate. The tool which has made this possible is the high-speed digital computer. The major task is to extend and augment human judgment, human imagination, and human intuition.
That's where we come in. ZDTV. Amaze yourself.
People all around the world are demanding their rights.
ZDTV me.
ZDTV, the first 24-hour channel for computing and the internet.
ZDTV me.
It's just an incredible phenomenon to me to see that so many people on the internet are interested in it.
Live.
ZDTV me. Is that supposed to be like soccer to me?
And uncensored.
Anything to make my floppy disk stiff.
ZDTV. Amaze yourself.
He cuts through the techno babble.
Spam, 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 spam.
He gets to the heart of the problem.
Do you have a 56K modem now?
He even takes a call from mom.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine, mom.
He's Leo Laporte, ready to solve your computer problems live. Call for help. Weeknights, 7, 6 Central on ZDTV.
Hey, if you missed it on the air, try going online to the Screensavers homepage. Insightful information, useful links, interaction on all this, and it's caffeine free. Log on, check us out 24/7.
Wait a minute, it says they have an image of Mark Andreessen and a latte. I think there's a little confusion here. Mark Andreessen.
No.
Anyway, well, I'll continue with call for help, and I just want to say,
What's the name of the show, Leo?
Go Cowboys.
What's the name of the show,
Screensavers?
Leo?
Go Cowboys. Okay. Go Cowboys. Rah rah rah. Don't mess with Texas, okay? In chat room, they're talking about our conversation of the day, which is...
Are corporate executives paid too much?
And actually, they're more interested in the click of death, it looks like, than the corporate executives.
Apparently. I didn't know.
Is Bill Gates paid too much? I mean, he only makes $600,000. That's not a whole lot of money.
Poor guy.
Actually, you know, somebody pointed out, Jack Welch, CEO of NBC, makes six-something million dollars. Well, how much does Tom Brokaw make?
Can you take that hat off, please?
Well, I think it's rather
dashing. Take off the dang hat.
I like that little
thank
lady.
You so
that's here is a 20-gallon hat.
Give me that.
It's
so,
my 30-gallon
where were we?
Philip in Tampa. Let's get on with the show. Hey, Philip. Philip?
Hi.
Oh, hi.
Listen, I have a question on Windows 95. I purchased a device that has USB.
Right.
And I need a later version of Windows than what I had.
Mm-hmm.
I'm using a 4.00.950A,
right.
And I need
USB
a later version,
right.
One with, I guess, a OSR, and I don't know what that, wonder
okay,
if you can help me out what that means.
Yeah, you can't do it without OSR 2, or OSR, what is it,
B2.1,
and you can't upgrade from A to B.
Microsoft doesn't offer that as an upgrade. And the main reason was they were afraid that people would use the new file system, FAT32, which is available in OS R2, and they would get in trouble because older disk utilities would damage the disk if you used FAT32. So Microsoft did what's called a slipstream upgrade.
Slipstream upgrade.
Basically a sneaky-ass upgrade. They got OSR. They put OSR 2 on new computers, but they didn't offer it to existing users. So if you bought a USB device, you are SOL, my friend, until Windows 98 comes out. Now, the good news is you can buy Windows 98, upgrade, and your USB device will work. In fact, truth is, it didn't work very well with OSR 2.1 OSRB 2.1 anyway. You really wanted to go to Windows 98 if you're going to use a USB device.
Right.
So you know what? You're one of those people who should spend the $88. That's the approximate street price for Windows 98 and get Windows 98.
That's right.
Is that okay with you? Can you live with that?
I think so.
Yeah. There are sneaky ways to buy OSR 2. For instance, you can buy a new computer, but here's a weird one. There's a company called Kinectix makes something called Virtual PC, which is an emulator, PC emulator for the Mac, which comes with Windows in the package. It's about $99, and the Windows it comes with is OS R2. So if you really had to, you could go out and buy it. But my point to you is that USB devices don't work very well, even with this USB support built into 95. You really want to go to 98.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mine works okay.
Thank you very much.
You know. All right, folks, just ahead, the click of death. Have you heard of it? Well, it's a very real problem occurring with the Zip and Jazz discs. We're going to have a full explanation with the leading authority on the topic right after this.
Just imagine being linked to a source of information, to a global internet adventure. Just imagine clarity in a world of chaos. Now, there's a new television network, ZDTV, your home for entertainment, explaining the power of computers and the internet, creating a world of possibilities. ZDTV, amaze yourself.
Heave, Larry. Everybody, Tilda here. Try this. One, stretch those hands. Two, tune in to ZDTV. And three, log on to ZDTV.com. You know, ZDTV is a total computer workout. News, products, gaming. It's like having your own personal computer trainer on air and online.
Tilda, a real character on ZDTV.
One more set, you can hit the shower.
Welcome back to the Screensavers. Leo Laporte here, Kate Patello's in the chat room. We are going to talk about something very, very interesting, and I think you'll want to watch this closely. There is a problem, and it's acknowledged, with the iOmega Zip and Jazz drives, referred to as click death or the click of death. And here's what happens. An audible click develops in drives, which can be fatal to the disk and sometimes possibly to the drive. We're going to find out a little bit more about that. Here to explain what the click of death is, a guy who's done a lot of research on the subject, a man I've read and known about for years, Steve Gibson, hardware wizard, disk guru. Good to have you here.
Thanks.
You wrote SpinRite years ago. How long ago did you write SpinRite?
It had its 10th birthday at the end of March.
And it's back.
Version 5.0.
Because I remember you retired. Kind of.
Well, I left. I did the column for 8 years.
In
InfoWorld.
InfoWorld.
The Tech Talk column. Yeah. Every week for 8 years.
And I read it religiously.
That's enough.
It was you and Dvorak. You know, that's all I read.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, John left and the magazine changed. And also the industry began accelerating to a point where I wasn't able to get anything else done except research for the column. And, you know, my main focus is development. That's what I love.
I shed a tear on that last
column. That's what I love.
Well, he's back. And let's talk a little bit about the click of death.
Yeah.
We'll talk. I would love to talk to you another time more about all the history, because I'm an oldster. But let's talk about click of death. First of all, how'd you get involved in click death?
What happened is that with version 5 of SpinRite, which supports the FAT32 you were talking to the prior caller about, you know, that in SR2, it also supports SCSI drives for the first time.
Right.
And Zip and Jazz drives are, if not SCSI, they're SCSI-like. The point is that SpinRite 5 runs on any drive that exists under DOS and Windows.
So you had to investigate these drives.
What happened was we got a couple people wrote to us, a couple customers called and said, hey, Spinrite 5 fixes Click of Death. I'd never heard of Click of Death.
Right.
So I did some research and I found out that there's like, you know, thousands of people that are having problems with their zip drives. So although Spinrite...
Now, by the way, we should say 10 million zip drives in use.
15 million now. Yeah, that's about
to announce that. So 1,000 people or thousands of people is not a bad number.
As a percentage, I think it's not.
I mean,
iOmega has said maybe 100,000 would be affected by this problem.
Even that's a small number.
Yeah, when you consider 15
right.
million.
So what is Click Death?
The click sound itself is no mystery. That's the sound made when the disk is or when the drive is unable to find the sector or access the sector that it's looking for in the disk.
Well, we've heard this on hard drives. It goes.
Like back in the old days,
right.
The old timer that you are,
yeah.
you remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's trying to read a sector and can't.
It's doing a retry, and
it sounds like it's struggling.
It's like groaning, exactly.
Yes.
In this case, you get a clunk. Clunka,
okay.
Clunka, which is nothing more than the heads being retracted out of the cartridge and then put back in to see if, like, doing it again, loading them again, will help the problem.
So the click itself is not a bad thing. It's not like the drive head hitting the media or something like that.
No.
It's a normal thing. It's trying to reread it.
It's just like the sound that you hear when you first put the cartridge in and the heads load.
But when I hear this sound, should I be worried?
Well, if you hear the sound ever, once the cartridge is in, and when you're, like, trying to access your data,
right.
then you need to be worried.
Okay, now this is, I should reiterate, a problem that occurs on iOmega's ZIP and Jazz disks.
Right.
That's the 1 megabyte is the Jazz, and the ZIP is the 100 megabyte. Does it happen to the new 2 megabyte Jazz disks as well?
I have no experience with that.
Okay.
I have heard other people talking about, you know, SideQuest drives.
So it may happen to other removables.
Sure.
All right.
Yeah, and there's no reason that it's only specific to iOmega because, the click sound is just what any removable media cartridge would have.
All right. So what's happening, if I understand this is, by the way, a ZIP disk, and I tell you, I live on these things. I eat them for lunch. And I treat them pretty badly,
sure.
I have to confess. And you were talking before the show that one of the problems is people treat them like floppy disks, you know.
The classic zip drive itself, you know, is that blue box that's
right.
you tend to take it around with you. You know, people treat laptop computers a little too casually,
right.
And I think they might be treating their drives a little too casually.
So what's happening here is four of the redundant sectors. Is that right? On
tracks.
The disk. Tracks.
There are four sort of secret hidden tracks called Z tracks, Z
okay.
as in zip, which is where the drive stores its internal housekeeping data.
Okay, it's not your data, it's the drive's own data.
And you have no access to it
okay.
from the outside.
Right. Those get damaged, it basically turns this into a coaster.
A doorstop.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, not a very good doorstop,
a better coaster.
Yeah,
it's a high-tech coaster.
Now, one of the things we've heard with Click Death, and I want you to debunk this one, is that when a cartridge dies, it can then contaminate other non-damaged drives. Is that true or false? In other words, I've had Click Death. I've pulled this out. This disk is damaged?
Very likely that disk has some formatting damage on it
okay.
now.
Is my drive damaged in the my zip disk drive damaged?
Yeah, the drive...
Drive is damaged.
That drive is damaged.
Well, if I put this in another drive, my friend's drive, to see if this disk is okay, am I going to damage his drive?
Only in a very rare circumstance.
Because that was one of the things I think that really scared people.
Was this contagion idea.
This Typhoid Mary of zip
yeah.
disks.
All right. What happens is a bad zip disk will damage the formatting on that cartridge. And so you're hearing it click and click, 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 and you think, uh-oh, there's a problem. Then you take this disk, which itself has now been damaged by the bad drive,
right.
stick it into a good drive,
right.
and it clicks. So the presumption is, now that drive is bad. It's
not
the drive.
But it's only clicking because it can't read this disk.
Exactly.
It's a normal process.
Exactly.
So what happens to these drives that they start clicking? What's going on? Why would it damage this disk? By the way, I haven't had this happen. I don't know anybody this has happened to.
I know thousands of people.
They're all, well, that's because they're all coming to Steve
yes.
Gibbs. And by the way, the website is spinrite.com, and you have a whole section if people want to know more about this, and we point to it from our website.
Well, and a freeware utility on the way that'll allow you to detect whether your drive might cause click of death.
All right, so the drive is damaged. It's damaged the disk. This is useless. Should I then take the drive out of circulation? Will it damage more disks?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So it's now time to retire the drive. Good news, they're only about $100. Is there any way to fix a click of death drive?
The problem is you ask what causes it.
Right.
When I started doing the research, I wanted to find the reason and fix it. Maybe do something like ZipRite, you know, to fix zip problems. Turns out there isn't a cause. It's been linked to bad power supplies, bad connectors, the heads getting dirty, and there's no like a cleaning disc for zip drives. There's no such thing. Mechanical problems in the positioner. There's a whole array of problems that develop in these drives. That's why I backed off from trying to create a cure, and instead I created a something that would test whether your drive was going to have a problem.
All right, so you've created a program called Trouble in Paradise.
Right, TIP.exe.
I love the name. And what does it do?
Trouble in Paradise is a non-destructive test that you can put a disk in any drive. Mm-hmm. It will do, basically it does reads and writes while watching the drive's behavior closely to detect whether the drive is having problems. The drive, see, it will mask problems a lot by relocating bad sectors around using these Z-tracks.
So it's actually smart. It's doing the right thing.
It's a beautifully engineered drive. Right. When I got into this, I was very impressed with the engineering iOmega had done. It looks like, you know, there a percentage of them that is not insignificant are having problems.
All right. So you're going to release this when?
Middle of next week.
Okay. And it will be a diagnostic program?
Free.
Free. About downloadable
30K,
from spinrite.com.
Written in assembly language.
Very small. All right. Gee, people still write in assembly.
That's all I use.
Only Steve Gibson.
Screensavers, I'm Kate Patello.
And I'm Leo Laporte. Thank you so much for joining us. Coming up in today's show, shields up and protect yourself from the dreaded port sniffers.
Never mind. Also, Editor-in-Chief Jake Kirchner joins us with PC Magazine's top-rated products for 1999. Very cool segment. Be sure to check that out.
Really neat stuff. Then later, the hottest digital cameras, whether you are a novice or a pro, Jim Latterback has a digital camera for you on today's Fresh Gear.
All right. Fresh Gear. Today in the chat room. Now, let me just give you the specific author and the title of the book. A new book written, The 75 Greatest Management Decisions Ever Made and 21 of the Worst by Stuart Craner. Names as the number one. What do you think, Leo?
Now, we should
number
say, by the way, this guy's not a computer expert.
No, he's not.
And it's a business book.
Yes.
Not a computer book.
That is correct.
All right. He says the number one business mistake, I'd say New Coke.
Incorrect.
Edsel.
Good guess, but not correct.
No?
Nope. That's like technology related.
Oh, it's technology related.
Management decision.
HP's decision when Steven Wozniak came to them saying, would you like to make a computer called an Apple? To say, they said, no, you know what, there's no market for personal computing. How about that?
These are all really good
options. That's a pretty good one.
These are good. Michael Patterson selling DOS for $30,000?
Yeah.
Kicking himself? Nope.
Yeah. But that wasn't his fault because Bill kind of misrepresented the whole
thing. Of course, but that's beside the point.
So the worst move
ever was Apple killing off the clones.
Oh, interesting.
Ending the licensing of its operating system, according to this author, was the worst management decision ever. We're asking you today.
That's a pretty bad decision.
It's pretty bad.
It made me mad.
Well, we're asking you, did Apple make the worst management decision ever? Yeah, but part of that, you know, I mean, they felt that their market share was being diluted.
Well, that's true. I mean,
licensing the Microsoft OS didn't necessarily make everything take over just for them.
Since they did that, obviously, they've had profitable quarters every quarter since then.
Right.
So I'd be hard-pressed to say that's the worst business decision ever, since it hasn't, in fact, hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess what you could say is, well, what was the opportunity cost? Because if they had continued licensing, maybe instead of Windows, Macintosh... No.
What a watered down.
The guy's wrong.
The price points earlier were a problem.
Here's where you could really say the bad decision, and Steve Jobs has told me this and believes this fervently, that Apple did make a very horrible business decision around 1989 or 1990 when, and Jobs was gone, it was John Sculley at the time, when they said, should we open our license? No, let's not. Let's keep it proprietary.
Yes.
That might be where they went wrong. I'd buy that as being one of the worst mistakes.
The article that I read that was linked off of Good Morning Silicon Valley. Check that out, folks. GMSV.com.
Great site.
Great site for technology
news.
Yes. And they specifically said that what
agreed with you that that was actually a much worse decision than killing
clearly
off the clones.
Clearly, that hurt Apple badly. They could be Microsoft right now had they allowed people to buy the operating system and put it on other hardware.
So we don't think that was the worst management decision ever. But we want to know, of course, what you think. Take our web poll at thescreensavers.com. While you're there today, folks, click TalkBack and tell us what you think the worst management decision ever.
Technology-wise.
I suppose technology-wise.
Well, you could do it in general, I guess.
New Coke. I'm with you, man.
Yeah.
I'm
really interested in tech. I'm going to have to think about it. Before the show's over, I will come up with what I think is the worst computer-related decision. There have been bad ones.
Ken says the second Jan was also a very bad management decision.
The second Jan in the Brady Bunch?
Yeah. I was thinking there were a couple, actually, like that were pretty bad. Getting rid of pineapple lifesavers. Did you see that? They were saying pineapple lifesavers
were not
Y2K compliant.
They didn't get rid of them.
And they have
They're
voting.
They won't get rid of them.
Now, for watermelon? Nah.
Give us a call, 888-989-7879. I just thought of one. Probably the worst decision in the computer industry ever. They put a company out of business. Does that count?
Yes.
I'll tell you in a second. Chat.zdnet.com. That's our chat room. And we are, by the way, in the screensavers room. That's where the party is going down.
That's a party.
As the young people say.
Is that what we say? Where the party is going down. Actually, the other party going down is in the Netcam Cineplex. That's where it's actually happening, as the kids would
say. We've got a couple of parties going down. Actually, three.
Jennifer,
hi guys.
Shannon, Scott,
and
Robin.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's Robin.
And Shannon.
Robin, Scott, and Shannon. What are they doing? See no evil, heal no evil.
Speak no evil. They said the worst management decision ever was always cutting to the Netcam booth to ask the Top Talk question at the top of the show. They would agree with that. So, of course, call them up.
That's why we're going to keep doing it forever.
Forever. Give them another bit to do and earn yourself the fabulous coveted screensavers magnet as seen on our fridge.
Curious George.
How cute.
Let's get to our...
Let's give one of these puppies away.
You want to?
Yeah.
First caller of the day on the ZDTV3.com Netcam Network from Atlanta, Georgia. It's Pete. Hello, Pete.
Hi, Pete.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Pete, we're pretty good. I'm tossing you a magnet. Ready?
Yeah.
One, two...
Oh, nice shot.
All right, nice catch.
I think
you
flicked his eye there. Right?
Did I?
All right, I got it.
Oh, I put his eye out. Great. So what can we do for you, Pete?
Well, it's coming towards Christmas. I asked my grandfather for a present from Amazon.com.
All right. Oh, good call.
It was the Philips Nino 319.
Very nice grandfather. Very nice grandfather.
But it doesn't work?
They canceled the order is the only problem.
Oh.
And I'm running out of time, so I have a $200 budget, and I'm looking for the best wired toy.
What are you looking for? What kind of thing do you want?
I'm just looking for some fun toy under $200 that's going to get me off for the rest of the year.
Are you in school?
Yeah.
What grade?
I'm a freshman.
Freshman in high school.
Yeah.
All right. So he had started with a Nino.
Nino's pretty cool.
So he could... How much is a handspring?
I don't think you could set it at Amazon.com, unfortunately.
Amazon.
So it's a gift certificate? Do you have to use it at Amazon, or can you go anywhere?
No, I don't.
Good.
The order we made there was canceled for the Nino.
I actually like...
Oh, I see.
Better than I like the Nino, I like the Palm Spring. And there are three models, 149, 179, and 249. I'd get the 179 model. That comes with a docking cradle. It's no good.
And then
that's
you can get attachments and add them later.
That's a good choice. And Grandpa can... That's the gift I keep on giving, because Grandpa can keep giving you stuff.
Yep, and it's better than the Nino. I would agree with you wholeheartedly.
You were a Nino user.
I played with the Nino, and I liked it a lot. But once I played with this handspring with the visor, it. Wins hands down.
So that's if you want to stay with the PDA.
Under PDA 200. Is good.
You know what I really like?
How much is a Game Boy?
Game Boy would be great.
Yeah.
Do you have a Game Boy?
Yeah, the old Game Boy. It's not much of a rush.
No, PlayStation, no. Dreamcast.
Yeah, we have all that stuff.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Boy. Hey, you know, that Intel microscope's $100. That's kind of cool. You might be a little old for that, but that's a 100X microscope that hooks up to your Netcam or your computer.
Yeah, I actually use I'm using a video camera right now. I have a little studio
very
down
nice.
Here.
Oh, really?
All right.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. Let's get our chat room involved. Let's get our viewers involved. Get our email. Your budget, $200. You can tell what kind of cool guy he is. Let's think of some stuff. How about MP3s? You listen to MP3s?
Yeah,
I have tons of MP3s, yeah.
You have an MP3 player yet?
Actually, I do. I have the Rio 300.
Oh.
What to give the guy
for
who
the
has everything?
Everything. Okay, what's your video card?
I'm using a ATI All-in-Wonder 128 PCI 16 megabytes.
You might want to look at
Voodoo.
Do you play games?
Well, not many.
All right, so don't upgrade your video card. Man, you're tough. You're tough to shop for.
Yeah.
No wonder Grandpa gave up.
I'd say give you a gift certificate and just let you go.
Not only did Grandpa give up, we went to some other caller. All right, Pete, so, we're gonna get the entire group involved by the end of the show.
I promise you, we
will have five, I count them, five great technology solutions for under $200.
All right.
We're gonna do it. Is Grandpa watching?
No, he's not.
What's his name?
His name's Harry.
Harry, why don't you tape this and you can give it to Grandpa Harry, okay?
All right.
And then don't tell him,
all right,
you know, what to get, right?
Okay.
That way it'll be a surprise. All right. Thanks, Pete.
Thank you, Pete.
See you
nice
later.
Hat, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Can I tell you?
Is that one of them?
You won
from
this.
The trivia in your bookshelf at 9:45.
All right. What was the question you won with?
I really don't remember. I win those things all the time.
It was trivial. I win those things all the time.
That's a screensaver's hat?
It's a screensaver's hat.
Oh,
yeah,
cool.
I'm actually waiting for the T-shirt. If you guys could sign that, I won the Super Geek Challenge.
All right.
All right. If it's not already on its way to you, we'll find us some shiny markers of some sort that'll write on a black shirt, and we'll send it to you.
All right.
That's
okay,
worth
Pete.
$200 right there.
Yeah.
There you go.
Not. Thank you, Pete. Take care.
Thanks, Pete. You know, he may be the first person who's ever actually called us with a screensaver's hat on his head.
That's great. I'd like to see more of that.
Yeah. Call us up with your screensaver's hat, and it's more likely that you'll get on.
First, I gotta win one.
We'll tell you how to win one later on. After the break, protect your ports and put your shields up. Find out what I'm talking about from the screensaver's continues.
What is she talking about? What is she talking about?
And it's time now for the weekly Windows tip. The happy Windows tip. Protect your ports. Put your shields up. With many, many thanks to our dear friend Steve Gibson of GRC.com. Check your own security by running Shields Up.
Now, this is a program he wrote?
This is a terrific program that he wrote. Now, if you go to GRC.com, Shields Up will show you how much information its secure engine can find about you and your machine. So if you go here, and I have this set up, folks, so that it won't show our IP address, but right above this, please stand by, you'll see it'll have my IP address, and it'll say, I'm trying to connect to your computer. Now, I will tell you immediately, it knew our computer name right away. And when I did this at home, by the way, the same thing happened. It knew my computer name. It knew what I put myself in as my work group, all kinds of stuff, all going out over the internet. So this engine will run and then test your security. Now, first of all, it'll say, look, preliminary internet connection established. I was already able to connect to your machine. And again, this is secure. They don't keep any of this information. They don't do anything with it. They're just telling you what it is they're capable of doing. And then you can scroll down a little further. It'll tell you, now this says unable to connect with NetBIOS to your computer. On my machine, it said plus, I can connect with NetBIOS to your computer. So it'll go through and tell you what all of your security holes are. Here we have our private names showing up, going out over the internet, all this stuff. So as you can see, oops, let me scroll past that. There we go. A lot of things in here that can go wrong. You can also go in and probe your ports. When you do that, it gives you this. It will show you all of the ports that are closed and any that come up as open. Now, I experimented and I tried this over our firewalled machine on the corporate network back at the office. All of my ports came up in stealth mode, which is great, but they say, you know, closed is the next best thing to a stealth port. It just says, I'm closed. Now, the repairs are actually pretty simple, and this is one of the best parts that I like about this. He takes you through all the way the adapter, the protocol, and the service binding, where a lot of this lies at fault. You do not need the client for Microsoft Networks or file and printer sharing or the Microsoft Family Logon to get on the internet. You need those to share files with other Microsoft Windows machines, but you don't actually need them to get on the internet, so you should not have the client for Microsoft Networks, for instance, bound to TCP/IP. So, he'll take you through all of these steps and explain all of the different layers and where they should be binding and show you this is the default setup, folks. If you look here, everything is bound to everything else by default. That is not necessary. So he can take you through the whole process, explain what you have, and tell you ultimately you want to have TCP/IP, for instance, bound to your dial-up adapter or your cable modem or your DSL interface to your NIC, and take you down from there that you can use actually NetBUI is a lot safer for any kind of internal sharing, anything like that you want to use. You bind the client for Microsoft Networks, the family login, those bind to NetBUI, and TCP/IP binds directly to
your adapters. Now, he'll actually take you through this step by step. If you go here, click on your operating system, 9598 or NT, and he will walk you through the whole thing, depending on how you should have your protocols mapped, what instructions you should follow, and what you should ignore. So please do run this. You will be so glad you did. Found a hole in my own security, went back, ran the test again, came up clean, couldn't find anything on my machine at home. Next best thing to having a firewall. Check out our website, thescreensavers.com, for step-by-step instructions. We have a basic article about the tip, but I really recommend that you come to Steve's site, grc.com, and read all of this really helpful stuff, including all of the explainers, his Explain This to Me section, about this Windows tip. Check it out.
That's neat. Thank you for doing that, Steve. Right. That's
yes.
really great.
Thank you,
yeah.
Steve.
Yeah.
I was just going to look up SpinRite because I was thinking, oh, man, I need SpinRite.
And you saw this.
And I found this just by accident and ran it and was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm insecure.
Yeah, it's good to know. It's good to know. Good explanations, too, in there.
Thank you. Combat those feelings of insecurity. Thank you, Steve.
Hello, I'm Lynn Esposto in the ZDNN newsroom. All the news about potential bugs in Windows 2000 didn't slow down sales. Today, Microsoft said more than 500,000 copies of the OS have been sold since its launch in mid-February, better than the company had expected. Microsoft was an actively traded advancer on the NASDAQ, and it helped push the composite into record territory. The Japanese release of Sony's PlayStation 2 had customers camping out for a chance to get their hands on it. Hundreds of hopeful video game fans set up tent sites outside Tokyo stores. Sony plans to sell at least 1 million game consoles within the first 2 days of the Japan launch. Well, will cell phones become the next handheld craze? Nokia's chief hopes so. He said web-connected mobile phones could outnumber PCs linked to the net within 3 years. More news in an hour.
People can help me with my computer.
Oh.
No! A technician will be with you in 4 hours.
4 hours?
You can upgrade for just $5,000.
What?
The Universal Serial Config Board should be set to ID6.
I need that in plain English. Help!
Leo LaPointe, call for help. May I help you?
Oh, hi, welcome. Welcome to Call for Help. Leo LaPointe here, and this is it. Friday, and we've got a great show for you. This is the show where we talk about high tech, we answer your questions, we make it all simple. And you watch this show, you might feel like you're getting smarter, but I want to let you in on a little secret. You are already smart enough. You can get all this stuff. This personal confuser may seem frustrating, bizarre, and confusing to you. You have every tool in your power possession right now to understand it all. Just nobody bothers to do it in English. They mostly do it in Espanol, but I don't speak Espanol, so I'm going to do it in English, okay? Here's how we do the show. It's live Monday through Friday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Live, why? Well, mostly because I want you to be able to call with your questions, and that number is 888-989-7879, toll-free from anywhere in North America. You can also email me, and you can do that anytime. If you have a brainstorm during the weekend and you want to email me, just send it along to callforhelp@zdtv.com, and we check the mail throughout the show, so as the mail's coming in, if you have something to say about something we just talked about, a lot of times it's a great way for me to get more information, to get corrections out on the air, and it's really valuable to me. So please don't hesitate to use that email. I love that. And, of course, the fun way to play is the chat room. This is recreational, all right? If you want to join us in the chat room, go to the website, zdtv.com/callforhelp, and click on Interact. And we'll see you in there. I'm going to spend some time in the chat room today. I just feel good. I don't know why. I feel like spring is in the air. Is spring in the air? Is that what it is? Yeah. Do you feel that way, Gabe? You're feeling good, aren't you? I hope everybody, wherever you are, all over the world watching this show, you're feeling good today because we're going to have a lot of fun. Now, today, I'm going to ask you, wouldn't it be great if there were a program that would tell you about your internet insecurities, about problems going on your computer, about people and ways people could get into your system? There is such a thing, and the guy who developed it, a program we've talked about before called Shields Up, is here, Steve Gibson. He's going to show us Shields Up. That's coming up in just a little bit. We're also going to talk about a way to talk with friends, family, and relations on the internet, a way to to chat instantly with folks, okay? Martin Sargent's going to give us one of his patented walkthroughs. That's all coming up. But right now, let's get to our very first call of the day, ladies and gentlemen. And that is Tommy from Livingston, Alabama. Hello, Tommy.
Hi.
How are you?
Love the show, Leo.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. I'm glad you watch. What can I do for you?
Well, I was wondering about NetSonic.
All right, we can talk about that. But first, let me ask you, is it spring in Livingston, Alabama?
Right now it is.
All right. So are you going to get in the mood with us here, the springy mood?
Oh, yeah.
NetSonic is one of a whole category of programs that are designed to speed up your internet, right? Am I right?
Yes.
Yeah. Is it netsonic.com?
I believe so.
Let me just try that and see if it is. Yes. It is. It's, in fact, according to NetSonic, the most popular internet accelerator software in the world. Wow, it must be good, mustn't it?
Well,
have you tried it?
Not yet.
All right. Well, let me talk a little bit about what NetSonic and all these programs do. There are a couple of different ways of accelerating internet access. One is by optimizing your connection. Okay, programs that we've shown before, like iSpeed.
Yeah,
those work. Because, as it turns out, Windows 95 was shipped with the wrong settings. Whoops. It was shipped for settings for a local area network, not a modem. So iSpeed works on Windows 95, and it can even give you some improvement on Windows 98 if you're on a modem. That's not what this does. This is different from that. This is caching software, and the design is, the idea is to speed up your browsing by keeping data on your hard drive. Now, you know your browser already has some caching capability, right?
Yes.
This is supposedly improves it. And I'll have to say, I haven't used this one, but everyone I've used so far, I am unimpressed. And in fact, often it causes reliability problems, okay? This is a couple of things that I don't like that I really don't recommend. This does something called prefetching pages. And what that means is while you're sitting, as I have been, notice a lot of people, the way you browse is you sit, you read a page, then you click on a link that was on the page, right?
Mm-hmm.
So prefetching, the way prefetching would work is if I had NetSonic running right now, it would have already downloaded this page that I'm going to click on. And so it would pop up instantly because it's downloaded it ahead of time. Now that works great if your behavior is I'm always reading the page and then I click on most of the links.
Yeah.
The drawback to it is, first of all, you download a whole lot more data than you're ever going to look at, right? So it's not a good netizen. I mean, it's using the internet to look at pages you're never going to look at. And unless you click at these links successively, you're not going to really benefit from it. If I now go to another page, there's not going to be any caching having been done. So if you have a certain kind of viewing pattern that most people don't, in my opinion, it might benefit you. I don't think it's worth the added headache to put it on there. I think, in fact, it can actually cause reliability problems. It's free. There's no reason not to try it. Have you tried it yet?
No, but the actual reason I wanted it is
yeah.
I play a lot of Asheron's Call online.
It would not help that at all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is basically going to make web pages pop up faster. That's it. iSpeed is the kind of thing you should use for Asheron's Call.
All right.
And, if you have Windows 98, it may not make that much difference. But neither of these programs cost anything. It's worth trying them. I personally am not convinced that this is a good idea, and I certainly wouldn't go out and buy any. There are other programs that you can buy, like WebCelerator. I certainly wouldn't do that. So considering you're not going to get much benefit, I just leave it off. All right?
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks,
yeah.
Tommy. iSpeed is available. It's and the word speed is available at the ZDNet software library. That's at hotfiles.com. And I bet you NetSonic's also there, but you can also get it from their website, which is web3000.com or netsonic.com. We've seen these programs. They've been around for a long time. Maybe this one works better than the other ones, but I have yet to. I'll try this one over the weekend and see, but I've yet to see one that really makes any difference at all. And more often than not, they cause more problems. Coming up next, if internet security is your top concern, Steve Gibson could be your new best friend. He's the man behind Shields Up, a website that tests your computer for security problems. We're going to talk to Steve about security problems and what you can do when Call for Help continues.
Stuart, can I see you in my office, please?
That kid is sick.
That hinge is squeaky.
Very sick.
Get in here.
Sure thing, Mr. P.
Stuart, I just opened my Ameritrade account.
Let's light this candle.
Let's go to Ameritrade.com.
It's easier than falling in love.
What do you feel like buying today, Mr. P?
Kmart.
So research it. All this stuff is provided for you free of charge.
No cost.
Yeah, that's synonymous with free.
Looks like a good stock.
Let's buy.
Let's buy 100 shares.
All right, click it in there. Okay. How about 500?
100, Stuart.
You feel the excitement? You're about to buy a stock.
Okay.
Online.
Oh! Fabulous. I'm thrilled. What did that cost me?
$8, my man.
$8.
$8. You're riding the wave of the future, my man. I gotta get a soda.
All right.
I'm sorry, Mr. P. We're having a party on Saturday night if you really want to go.
I'm gonna try and get there.
Happy trading.
Thank you.
Rock on.
All right, Stuart.
25th anniversary special. Open a cash account with $500 and get 25 internet equity trades commission free in the first month. Go to Ameritrade.com. Ameritrade. Believe in yourself.
Join the thousands of enterprising RTs painting our logo at ZDTV.com, and you can be on TV. Take a look.
You ought to be in pictures, and honey, here's your chance. Enter ZDTV's second annual CAM Film Festival. Go to ZDTV.com/CAMFest for all the details.
Hi, this is
It's the first show created entirely by you. Catch the sneak preview of You Made It, Wednesday, March 15th at 10, 9 Central, only on ZDTV.
Welcome back to Call for Help. I'm Leo Laporte. Can someone pry into your computer while you're online? Well, I tell you, ever since those denial of a service attacks, security concerns have become paramount. And of course, we're doing more and more of our personal business online. Privacy issues become a big deal. But how do you know what's a real threat? What's just hype? Joining us, Steve Gibson, the president and founder of Gibson Research Corporation, GRC.com, with some great ways to protect yourself from computer spies. Hi, Steve. Good to see you.
Great to be back.
Now, we got
to
tell everybody, Steve Gibson, I first became aware of you years ago with SpinRite, which was then and still is the best program ever made for checking and testing hard drives.
Still going
strong. Still doing it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but now, this is interesting because you've kind of taken a little bit of a turn here. Well, what's great about the GRC site is you've always covered stuff that's of interest to everybody. You had because you're such a great programmer, you can whip these things out. You did a CIH virus recovery program
last year. Yep.
That was great. I mean, there's lots of wonderful stuff in here. Click of death stuff. That's right, with the zip drives.
Yeah.
So Shields Up is your latest. Tell me a little bit about Shields. First of all, how'd you get the idea for Shields Up?
Well, I was talking to some friends about security, and I realized that when you're connected to the internet is connected to you. And people don't understand that when you go to a website, I mean, your computer is connected to that server.
Yeah, you think you're getting information from them, but they could be getting information from you.
Well, that's what I've done. The idea is I wanted people to understand what the vulnerabilities were in their, in the normal configuration of their system, and to show them exactly what it is that's going on and what information is leaking out. So I created a website that builds a custom page. When you go there, it typically greets you with your name. It says, hi, Leo.
Or greetings, call for help.
Right.
How did you know my name?
Well, you connected to my server, and I was able to reverse probe your computer and show you what's leaking out of it. And then the rest of the site shows you what you can do to lock it down.
This is stuff that any website can ask your computer, and in most cases, the computer will just give it. All right, now, we're not running any security software here, so we're just wide open. But this is how most people work.
Most people, either a modem or DSL or cable,
well, that's important. We always talk about DSL and cable like they're really the ones at risk, but it's not.
No, because you can load some software into your computer without knowing it, which just waits for you to connect by modem. I mean, the huge population of AOL users are just as much at risk, because if you get one of these bad programs in your system, it sits around waiting to phone home.
Well, we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. Those are the thing like Oriot and Godzilla and stuff. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. Let's look a little bit at what Shields Up is telling me, and maybe you can interpret it for the layperson so they can understand a little bit about. This is a great site, by the way, if you want to read about internet security.
Well,
you've got reams of material.
Thank you. I don't want to panic people, though. I don't want them to go all freak out and worry that someone is a vulnerability that never existed before is now there. This has always been going on, but with the internet increasing in popularity and more people getting connected, it just seems this is something people have to think about, is security is important.
Right. Okay. And it's not somebody's probably targeting you. I mean, this is not somebody's out to get you, right?
I mean, maybe a business would be targeted, like with these denial of service attacks right. we had a couple weeks ago. The typical user, though, can be found by a scan because they're just one IP address, sort of like one post office box right. out on the internet. And so hackers do run sweeps across these.
For vulnerabilities.
Looking for openings. And so the idea is to close these openings.
Don't make yourself a target, in other words.
Right. Understand that you have a little bit of responsibility and, you know, no one else is going to take you, take care of you except, you know, yourself.
Well, we're on the site right now. This is grc.com. Already you know my internet address. Is that normally public? Everybody knows that?
Yes, and people should not be too concerned about that. Normally it's in your email headers. If you post something to a news group, it's there. I mean, it's technically it's the address of your computer, but there really isn't a practical way of hiding it.
It's part of being on the internet.
You have to have it exposed in order for data to come back to you.
What's this number here?
That's known as your MAC address. That's the serial number of your LAN adapter.
Of my network card.
Of your network card.
Now, if I'm on a modem, I won't have one of those.
In fact, it's all zero, so I don't even bother showing it to you.
Okay.
But the cool thing about, well, from the technology standpoint, is it's globally unique. The first half of it is a manufacturer number. The second half is the serial number of that manufacturer. So there's no two of them that are the same, which means it uniquely identifies your machine.
Well, now, that's scary because any company that could get that information could. It's like the Pentium 3 ID. I have an ID.
It's like a cookie on steroids.
Because it can never go away.
Well, and any website can access it. In fact, after I showed that this was here, tons of websites have come to me saying, hey, how can I get that? Because, you know, and they're
they
all like,
it.
Oh, well, we're not going to do anything wrong.
Yeah, it's right, like, yeah, right. All right, now I'm going to probe my ports. What is a port? Why are you probing it? And what does it mean when you do?
The way a computer hooks to the internet is it's got an address, that IP address.
Right. That's like your phone number, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
But think about like maybe your address at home. So it's the address of the whole household.
Yes.
But then you've got people within the household.
Okay.
So ports are like the individuals within the computer.
They're like the
different ways of accessing
If this were a phone number, these would be extensions.
Yeah, that's a good example.
Okay. So these are all ways that I can interact with the internet. This is email. Wait a minute. Now these are all closed, but this one's open. What is that? Now that's port 139. A lot of people email me saying my port 139 is open. Steve says so.
Unfortunately, I showed everybody.
What does it mean, Steve? So I don't have to answer all those emails.
It's because this is open that I was able to say greetings, call for help, or greetings, Leo, or something.
Okay.
That's the port through which this personal information is leaking out onto the internet.
Now I don't have file sharing turned on.
Don't have to.
It's still open.
It's still open.
Okay.
However, there is a way, and my website goes on to explain and you know really in detail to show people. Just which buttons to push in order to close that down.
Okay, yeah,
and then you can come back and I'll just say greetings because I have no idea who you are.
Now, we have talked about, and I know you talk about your website, a personal firewall solution that's free called Zone Alarm.
Right.
It is free. Should everybody be running a firewall of some kind? How important is that?
In the future, it'll just be part of the system. It is so important. I mean, it's like the wheels on the car. The computers have not been on the internet long enough to mature.
Right.
One of the ways they're still immature is they don't have a firewall. But Zone Alarm is free.
So that should be an automatic thing.
Get it.
All right. It's at zonealarm.com.
Zonelabs.com.
Zone Labs. Actually, they've bought zonealarm.com too now.
Cool.
So it's a both.
Oh, good.
Makes it easy. Makes it easy for everybody. Now, let me go back. We're out of time. I just want to go back to Shields Up, which is, by the way, I know you put another T1 in for your appearance, but every time I show this on TV, it goes down.
Yep.
It's we're going to be a little slow, but if I go back to Shields Up
now. Oh, it kind of worked.
With Zone Alarm running, and I do the same thing, it's going to be a different story, isn't
it? Close down.
Yeah. What will happen? Because I don't know if
you can click there right now.
That's blank.
Go ahead and click right now, and it'll take you in.
All right. We're trying to get through the server.
I can't wait to go home now.
How many people does it take to get this to happen?
We saturate at 28,000.
So all of a sudden, is that what happened?
I have twice that now.
56,000.
Oh, it's because of you, Leo.
Next time I show this software, we're going to say, please. Now, folks, don't try this at home.
Until we're
off the air. We can't get in. All right. Oh, it's slowly going to do it. But what's going to say is
just greetings.
It's going to say.
It won't know anything about you.
It doesn't know my name anymore.
Right.
It won't know about those ports. It won't know my internet address anymore. All of that stuff because I'm running the.
You got Zone Alarm running.
The firewall running.
And that's free.
Now, there are other firewall programs out there.
Yep. And they're good.
They're good. But this one's free.
It's free. And actually, This thing does something that, as I think, it, well, first of all, it's unique.
Right.
It does it better than any others.
Right.
It blocks outbound communication.
Right.
Traditionally, the firewall is something that the corporation had, you know, in some closet somewhere,
right.
and that kept anything from coming in from the outside. The big problem for the individual is like a Trojan horse program.
That's,
you know,
sitting on my computer broadcasting out. In fact, here it is. Yahoo Messenger is trying to broadcast out. It's trying to access the internet.
And Zone Alarm caught it.
It caught it. And now it turns out I have Yahoo Messenger running and I want it running. But if it were doing that stealthily without my knowledge, this would be a very valuable thing to know,
and
wouldn't
exactly.
it?
And the idea is, I think that there's actually a bigger problem with applications you unwittingly load into your computer who want to phone home than it is with the random hacker, you know, somewhere on the planet.
We're going to save that discussion for another time.
I'll be back.
I agree with you. Steve, you're the best. Keep up the great work. I am so glad we could get you on and bring your servers down again. Steve Gibson, GRC.com. If you want to know more about what he's talking about, there's a link right on the front there about the Aureat issue, right?
Right.
A-U-R-E-A-T-E. It describes it. And, of course, we have a whole bunch of stuff, including links to his site at our address, zdtv.com/call for help. We're going to take a break, but I want you to test your technology. It's our daily quiz. Go to the website, click on today's quiz. Get this right. It means you're in a drawing for 1 year to smartplanet.com, a great site for online learning. Our quiz question, what is full duplex? Is it a multi-layer image, a send and receive simultaneously, a RAM doubler, or a very crowded house? My duplex is full. Get to the website. Give us your answer. We'll talk about it when Call for Help continues.
Well, that's it. That was fun going back in time, Steve Gibson. I love it. Merry Christmas to you. I don't know if you celebrate
yes.
Christmas or not, but I hope you have a wonderful holiday.
We're not such children anymore, Leo.
No, my God.
15 years more than mileage on us now.
I felt old even then and fat, and now look at me.
Well, it's been fun to watch all this happen together, and who knows how long we're going to go.
I'd rather chez avoir du poids than hair, but there you go. That's the way it works. Steve, we'll be back next week, New Year's Day. We're going to do a very special Security Now as part of our 24 Hours of New Year's on Tech TV, Twit. So watch on twit.tv. Steve, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, Leo. See you then. Bye. Security.